Coming to him as to the living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones. Remember we talked last week about building. Jesus wants to build. We are the living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Is there anybody here who believes on him? Well, for the 15 of you, you're glad. The rest of you must be going to hell. And he who believes on him by no means be put to shame. Anybody in here believe on him? Thank you. Wow. Don't get me upset before I even get started. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But for those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are, everybody say he's talking about me, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. Lord, I can't do what needs to be done. And so, Father, I yield to your spirit. I yield to your, just to you, Lord. Let people hear what you want them to hear. Lord, let people just hear your heart. And God, I ask you to be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. One of the things I take very very seriously is what I preach. I can buy books that give me sermons to preach. But I also am very convicted that by the Bible says, I had an argument with the Lord about this verse one time. Of course, I lost. But through the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. That's what the Bible says. Men's hearts are changed through the foolishness of preaching. I said, God, you called me to do something and turn around and call it foolish. And I take that very seriously. And I pray and I ask the Lord, this has been a bad week for me. And this has been a tearful week. I'm not a sad person. If you know me very often, very long, I believe there is gold at the end of the rainbow. I plan on gathering it up at the end of my rainbow. But I've been exceptionally sad this week, and I've tried to control it, and I get in my office and get alone, and I couldn't Because I've done something I said I'd stop doing. I said I was going to stop watching the news. And so I broke my rule. Todd gave me a new iPad that has the news on it. And I'm overwhelmed at what we have lost. I mean, when you have a teenager, I started trying to ask myself a question. How low do you have to get to be, how alone do you have to feel to go to a school and kill other children just for attention? I mean, I just sat there and wept, and I just said, me and Amy tried to grasp, how low do you have to go to torture other people so you can feel better about yourself? I mean, what have we lost that is just... I read a story about a mother. Now, Amy, you know, she's loving and kind and loves Jesus, but if you mess with her children, man, she turns pretty scary. I've had to leave the room. I said, you boys are on your own. I'm out of here. Where a mother sells her 5-year-old and 7-year-old daughters to these creepy old men for sexual favors, for drugs. Their 5-year-old and 7-year-old daughter to these, I might add, these old men that constantly watch pornography. And I just felt myself, you know, I told myself the other day, I said, you know, I'm the preacher. I get to preach. I think I'm just going to explode. Because our country has lost what the very thing that we possess. The people in our country have lost a sense of identity. They've lost a sense of worth. See, how can I value you if I don't even value myself? If there's no value in me and I think I'm worthless, then heck, I think you're worthless too. We've lost our sense of value. Fathers don't give a crap about their children. And so they're crying out. We've lost our sense of belonging. People are, I mean, I sit there and listen to them talk about gangs that they're killing people and they're selling drugs and they're hurting elderly and all this stuff. And they say, I need to be a part of that. Because I need a sense of belonging. There's no purpose. You got kids graduating college that have no idea and no direction. There's no sense of value. We've lost. Your fathers can just walk off and leave their children because they don't value them anymore. And I came here this morning, and I'm just sharing my heart because I knew what sermon I had put together already. I came here this morning thinking, I'm just going to explode. But let me say something to you about the Lord. First of all, the anger of men. See, I mean, don't you want to just go to Washington and slap everybody? I mean, you got all these problems and they're arguing about stupid stuff. I don't care what party you are. You shouldn't be any party because they're all ding-dongs. They just want power. Why don't we start guarding? Why don't we start, let's all group up and shoot. And we see somebody walking up with a trench coat, we shoot first. And I'm standing back there this morning. I come in early. Just kind of, and I'm building in my flesh, I'm building this anger. And all of a sudden a scripture pops in my mind and says, the anger of men does not accomplish the purposes of God. And I said, Lord, I don't even want to listen to that. I'm just mad. And then all of a sudden, probably the most unassuming lady in our church. She's very soft-spoken. She's the kind of person that can come in and out if you don't make a point to speak to her. Gosh. And I'm working up this lather in my flesh. Where I think, let's just go hit somebody. And she walks up to me and says, Brother Allen, we've been trying to get pregnant since 2006. You know, if you know, that's 12 years. We went to fertility, it didn't work. Waited a few years, went back to fertility, and it didn't work. He said, before last Sunday, the Lord asked me, I said, why have you stopped praying? She said, and y'all had that prayer, and I wasn't going to come down. And the Lord said, why have you stopped praying? And I came down. And she said, I don't know why I did, but last night I took a pregnancy test. And she said, I'm pregnant. Woo! 12 years. And all of a sudden, that man, it was just like, I swear I heard the Lord laughing at me. You know. All my fleshly anger just fell out my feet. And the Lord said, look, Alan, what fence you going to put up that can keep Satan out? What fence you going to put up? What armed guard is going to be able to keep Satan out? He said, miracles are only done by me. And the Lord said, preach yourself happy. So I said, well, I can do that. So we have the answer. I'm going to say that again so that the rest of you will amen. We have the answer. We are this, everything that we have lost as a country, we as the body of Christ possess. And it should be a marvel, to use his words, a marvelous light. It should be a marvelous light. Now, the first thing I want you to hear, first of all, is that I belong to a people. I belong. Everybody just say it with me if you're saved. If you're not saved, just don't say it. But if you are saved, say it. I belong to a people. Let's just say it like he wrote it. I belong to a special people. We a special people. See, we need to take some cues from the Jews. The Jews always have believed that they're special because God chose them. God told them, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. You're going to be my special. He could have chose anybody he wanted to. And the Jews are always going to be blessed because God chose them and they're his special people. And he made a promise to his friend Abraham and he don't break his promises. So I ain't never, if we start bombing Jerusalem from America, I'm moving to an island somewhere. Because God does not break his promises. They are especially people. You drop Jews anywhere in the world, and they'll wind up owning stuff because they're blessed of the Lord. And if you don't believe me, I don't care. You're wrong. You're just dead wrong. They're special. Look, they were chosen. They feel, that's why a lot of the world does not like Jews, is because they have a sense of privilege. They know they're special. Now they've lost their way and missed the Messiah, but they know that they're God chosen. Hosea, and God was going to take care of Hosea. In Hosea 1 and 2, he talks about that, you were my special people, and I told you, if you would just walk this way, you'd never experience what other countries experience. You'll never feel that, what other things are going to happen. It'll never happen to you, but you wouldn't. You walked your own way. And then he turns around because, why? Why does God always turn around? Because he remembers his covenant. And he remembered his promise to his friend Abraham. Look at Hosea 2:23. Look at it. Hosea 2:20, then I will sow her for myself in the earth. I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Doesn't that sound like the same verse we just read? They hadn't obtained mercy, but I'm going to give them mercy. Then I will say to those who were my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are our God. Can we just say that? You are our God. We are his people. We are his own. Look at verse 9. I love the way he says it. Verse 9 that we just read said that his own special people. I'm special. Isn't that special? Do you understand that we are, I belong to something. I am part of something. I mean, we got people are crazy longing for what we have. They are crazy. I mean, you got people making millions of dollars on this ancestry.com. Find out what your ancestry is, the 23andMe thing. You know, and they sit there, you see the commercial, and they say, I found where my strength came from because my ancestor was a woman leading the armies. And they said about the hat, I put the hat on and I felt good about myself. The guy doing the German dancing, and he said, I found out I was Irish and I put on Irish thing, a Celt, and now I'm all done. I mean, a change of clothes is changing our life. When I know, and you know, they got somebody over in Bombay, India, in a little room, just filling out that stuff for you. Yeah, here, man, you want to be Irish? Yeah, you a king? Yeah, whatever, that's what they doing. I guarantee you that's what they doing. I'm going to tell you, if I was evil, that's what I'd do. Me and the boys, we'd make millions off of y'all. I need to feel good about myself. Somebody love me. Well, here, you were a king, man. You're royalty. Here, we'll just run them off on the copy machine. And we feel some sense of perverted good about ourselves when God Almighty, the King of the universe, is saying, if you're one of mine, you're special. You belong. You belong to me. You're royal. I mean, they estimate 2 billion people watch that goofy wedding. If you want them, please don't tell me. Just don't tell me. Goofy wedding. Why? Because we all think they're royal. The royals. Can I tell you something? The king and queen of England is going to bow to my big brother, Jesus Christ. You want to know what your DNA is? If you're a Christian, come on now. Come on, you want to know what? Come on, look at me. Some of you, I don't know about it. Hey, you don't want to know what your DNA is? Well, look at David. Look at Paul. Look at Peter. All of that. Look at Jesus Christ. That's what runs through my veins. That's my DNA. I belong to something that the whole world is trying to stamp out, and they can't overcome us. We're outbreeding them, man. They can't stop us. I belong to a family that's going to rule the universe. And some stupid 23andMe can't give you that. You know they're making that stuff. How do they know what went on in Africa 2,000 years ago? Oh, this so-and-so. Hey, oh, it's yours. India, I'm telling you, I've seen the buildings. They just... Oh, anyway. Taking your money, just running up, and then they sell your credit card number to the Nigerians who are running up cards on you. If I belong, if I am saved in Christ, that means I belong. I belong. I belong. I belong to something. It means that I'm part of a family. Look, I'm part of a family. A great family. A family a great family. I'm part of a family. I'm not alone. I mean, listen, I'm hard on females that come to my house. I am. I admit it. They say I'm too. But if a girl wants to date my sons, then what I have to do is I'm a little rough on them the first time, because if they don't come back, they are unworthy. If they can't handle a little pressure from dad, they are unworthy. Right? I don't apologize for that. I mean, listen, me and Amy have stopped. There's only 11 tickets into this family. And you're going to have to earn getting into our family, because our family is special in a lot of ways. We're special. I knew Emily, Micah's wife, wanted to get in the family bad, because even when Micah wasn't there, she'd bring us donuts every morning for breakfast, just thinking about you. And all the boys said, Mikey, you got to marry this girl, man. We like her. She said, and then, you know what, it tipped it over the edge. I kind of gave him a little nudge after this. She brought me 3 different of my favorite flavors of Bluebell. I felt like it was the Lord speaking to me. Listen, everybody look at me. We have people that We have people that want to come to our house for family time just because they want to be a part of a family. Do you understand that we all have that in Christ?
Amen.
Just like last week, I told you that the Father sets the rules, and some of you do not feel the blessing of the Father because the Father in His house sets the rules in His house. And some of you aren't following the rules, like loving each other, being kind to each other, all these different things. God sets the rules in His house. Right? We had that already. I'm not alone. It's a privilege to be part of this family. It's a privilege to be part of this family. Man, can't you get happy about that? Can't you just celebrate? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. Celebrating it. When you're through Christ, when you understand that you belong, well, you understand that there's some privileges that come with the family. There's privileges that come with being in this family. Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. These are privileges that come in with being belonging. Look what it says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's the privilege of being part of the family. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's going to bring up my past? Uh-uh. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You see, he's praying for us. Who also makes intercession. Who shall separate us from the love of God? From the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or darkness or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Look at the next verse. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded. You know what that word persuaded means? I am locked in. You ain't moving that. All this other stuff I don't know about. But right here, that one, it's settled. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me take the list so that you'll take notes. Now, I just picked one verse. I could have picked 100. This is one verse for belonging to our family, the benefits of being in our family. God is for me. I'm just taking them right out of that verse. God's for me. If you still think God's out to get you and wants to, I'm convinced. That most Christians think if you follow God, you're going to have to be miserable. That He wants to make you do whatever it is you're afraid of, that's what He wants to make you do. Man, He's a better dad than that. God is for me. Second one, I'm not condemned. So if I feel condemnation, It ain't from God. Right? He's just taking that out of that verse. How about this one? I'm justified. I've been made just. Not by my own actions, by God. It is God who justifies. How about this one? I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not going to pull a Rambo or a Star Wars and win right at the end when all hope is lost. We are more than conquerors. We not only conquer, we're more than that. We are more than that. The last one is I'm loved. I'm loved. Listen, I know that some of you have never had a daddy tell you he loves you. Well, Daddy God just told you he loved you. I just read it to you. He sent a letter saying, I don't care what you did in your past, nothing is going to separate you from my love. I belong. I am part of the family. I don't need something else. See, we're still trying to make something else make us feel good about ourselves. I don't need money. I don't need clothes. I don't need, I don't need to be thin. Now, I would like to be thin, but that ain't going to make me feel good. If that makes you feel better about yourself inside, I hear it on commercials all the time, take our pill, eat whatever you want, and you'll feel better about yourself. First of all, no. I've tried a couple of them, and Bluebell is on the not list, I promise you. But listen to what I'm saying to you. Only God can make you feel like that. Because if it's not God, it'll be something else next time. It will not satisfy. It'll always be something else. Do I want to be thinner? Yeah. I'd like to be thinner, but it don't matter. I belong. I'm part of the family. I'm loved just the way I am. Does he want me to be healthier? Yeah, but it ain't going to change my status. I am God's baby boy, and I like it. And if that offends you, excuse me, Dad, I got too close to you. Do you understand? I'm trying to preach you into happiness and hope and joy. I'm more than a conqueror. I am going to get to stand and watch Satan chained up. And first of all, we're all going to do that V8 thing where we hit our head going, what the heck is wrong with us? That's the guy? That's the one that caused all the trouble? That's the guy? Man, that's the guy that we wanted to hit. You know why we're going to do that? Because Satan is an impressive creature. Because he's going to be standing next to Jesus. And baby, there is no comparison. And we're going to get to laugh. And I could see that I was sitting in my office, just started getting happy. I started waving my hand. Na, 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 na. Hey, goodbye. Wouldn't it be awesome if we all broke that out in heaven while Satan's getting thrown into the pit? Hey, goodbye. I'm going to start it. I'm going to start that. Y'all follow along with me. Why? Because I'm part of the family that wins. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nothing that has been created in heaven, hell, can conquer. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Now, when we get in trouble, everybody look at me. I got to move on. Got one more thing to say to you. When we get in trouble is when we start trying to pick up the weapons, our weapons, our thoughts, and fight Satan our way. That's when we get the snot beat out of us. And you go, well, I'm not a conqueror. Well, I bet somewhere you decided to take things into your own hand. See, the family don't. I watched my dad. My dad got us publicly humiliated in a meeting, in a city council meeting 150 years ago. I was a teenager. And this lady wanted to have beer and stuff sold, but she wanted to cherry pick it just right there that her family happened to own the... You see what I'm saying? And Dad said, no. Well, she started bringing up stuff from his high school days. Oh, man. If we're going to go back to high school, man, we all in trouble. I mean, maybe not Amy, but the rest of us are doomed, man, you know. I mean, Amy might get by, but I know the rest of you, y'all in trouble too. Well, see, I mean, just publicly. And man, I'm a teenager. And I literally said this because I want you to know teenagers are stupid. But what makes them dangerous is they think they're smart. Like they know something. And I sat down in the car with my dad. I said, Dad, guy, you'll appreciate this. I said, Dad, I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, Dad, I'm hacked off. Don't worry about it. Me and Wade and Scott and Brad, all of us, we'll take care of this. We'll egg her house and put a million rolls of toilet paper on her house. She'll never crawl out of that thing. My dad was real serious, and he went, son, we need to pray for her. He said, just as confident as I'm talking to you, he said, when you raise your hand against the Lord's children, you are in trouble. He said, we don't need to do anything. We need to pray that God will be merciful. Of course, I was rebuked, and but I was still thinking, well, I just won't tell him. I'll roll her house anyway, you know. When you understand that, see, it makes life a lot more simple. You don't have to worry about people getting to you because, hey, I'm part of the family, and my daddy's bigger than your daddy.
Amen.
And he watches out for his kids. He cares about the prayers of a little unassuming lady who had stopped praying for something. That's the kind of Father we serve. Last thing you need to do as part of the family, tells us in verse 9. It says in verse 9 that we should show forth the praise. Look at it. We're his special people. And the first thing we need to do is proclaim his praise. I started to break out. We need to dance more. Some of you need to break out. And look, we have dance fever at my house, at Jamie's house. We'll break down. We can't pop the gator no more because something pop loose if we tried all that. But man, I can still do the electric slide. Yeah, I started to bring out Sister Sledge, We Are Family. Dolly, you remember that, don't you? We are family. You know, we ought to sing more. We ought to celebrate. See, some of you are more worried about what other people think than praising God for what He has done. I'm part of the family, man. I win. There is nothing you can do that can take away my family inheritance. Woo! And so we ought to start dancing a little bit. We ought to sing. We ought to celebrate. Samuel, in 2 Samuel, write this down. We're not going to read it. 2 Samuel chapter 6. It is when David is bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. And the Bible says he took off his kingly robe. He took off his attitude. He took off his pride. He took off all, you know, all he had was what the men used to wear, like that long sleeping gown thing. That's basically what, And the Bible says he danced and twirled and jumped and celebrated and was joyous and had a song and he broke a sweat and he fed the whole, he went crazy. He fed the whole city. Why? Everybody look at me. Why? Because the presence of God was there. Somebody connect that dot for me, please. We ought to celebrate. Why? The presence of God is with us. Why? Because I'm part of the family. That's one of the things. He goes with me. He's going to take care of me. I don't have to worry. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because Daddy is going to do something crazy. And so we ought to celebrate. We ought to sing. You ought to sing more. Quit worrying about your old stuffy religious self and just go off every once in a while. Just enjoy it. Celebrate. Why? Because I got Jesus in me. And I'm part of the family that wins. I get access. I get access because of who I am. See, some of you are like my boys. I'm going to tell this. Can I tell this quick story? I know. Look, the Baptists are already at the restaurant. Let's let them eat and get through there. Methodists, they were already there before the Baptists. So just listen to this quick story. It's a great story. I started laughing about it after I cried. I started thinking about it. See, y'all are like my boys when I got a friend that's a business owner that has exploded. And he's wealthy and he lives in South Lake, Texas, which is the wealthiest, supposedly. And he lives in one of them neighborhoods that has the big fences and the guards that you ain't getting in. Okay? We're coming through on vacation. And the place has a golf course. A lot of the golf pros live in this place. A lot of celebrities and stuff. The Jonas Brothers. They used to live. They have a house in this neighborhood. And so I'm on vacation with my 11 sons. Did we have 11 then? It was just 10, wasn't it? Yeah, that was before Matthew slipped in. But anyway, we thought we were finished. So I have my 15-passenger van and a U-Haul. Okay? And so we drive up. We drive up to the gate. And the boys instantly get quiet. You can tell they feeling it. You know, they like, ooh. I drive up and here comes this little short guard. He goes, sir? You can tell he's checking out my vehicle. You're like, no, you ain't getting in. You better be a yard laborer or something. You know, I said, sir, I'm Mr. Hickman. Mr. Hickman? He went, Alan Hickman? I said, yes, that is me. He said, we've been expecting you, Mr. Hickman. Come on in. And he presses a button, this big, huge gate opens up. And we go, and it's cobblestone streets. So we had unloaded. I love it. It's awesome. This is so awesome. We had unloaded the U-Haul because we were all going to play golf. So there was nothing in the U-Haul but the golf clubs. And so we're on this cobblestone street, and that U-Haul, bam, 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 bam. And we're driving up, and there's Bentleys, there's, you know, cars that I can't pronounce, and cars that had doors open the wrong direction, you know, all this kind of, and the boys, there was a parking lot way down from the clubhouse. They said, just park here, Dad, just park here. Hey, Dad. Dad, no, man, don't. No, Dad. I mean, I can hear Mike in my mind. Dad, please, just park down there. Don't drive up under the cover. I'm saying, no way am I not driving up under the cover. No way. Man, I belong here. And so I drive my 15 passenger van, and then the U-Haul, and all these little guys run out and said, "Oh," I said, "I'm Mr. Hickman." "Oh, yes, Mr. Hickman, you got a group, don't you?" "Yes, I do." They take the golf clubs, they're cleaning them, they're carrying them for the boys and all that. I want them to know that's the way Dad wants to treat you, and some of you are ashamed of it. You won't celebrate it. You don't feel it because you don't celebrate it. You can't even lift your hands when she was saying, "I am thankful for all you've done." Some of you just... Well, I got to tell you, it gets better, man. So we go, Terry called me, "Hey, man, I'm running late a few minutes." So we go out to the terrace, the veranda. And we lose Nathan. We're standing out there looking at these $20, $30 million homes across the lake, across the golf course, and we're... You know, and we look over, and Nathan has crawled up into, there's a table with three adults sitting there, and he's crawled up into the fourth chair. And he is just, he's eating their salsa and chips. I kid you not. When my wife saw that, she turned to me and went, "Oh my God, Alan." I said, "It must be complimentary, baby. I don't know." So I walk over there, and it is the Jonas Brothers' parents and their manager. So we sit down and just start having like we belong, because we do belong, because a man paved the way for us to be there. They ain't no more famous than me. They eat chips and salsa just like I do, baby. Why can't we celebrate what the King of the universe has done for the family we're in? Here's your conviction statement. Everybody looking? I'm going to end with this. David danced with all his might because he was celebrating the presence of God. To those who believe, what I'm talking about, something inside of you is smiling. The Spirit of God is going, "Yeah." But to those who don't believe, it's foolishness and offensive. There's some in right now, or man, I wish this would finish. Man, this is silly. What is he talking about? Well, to those who don't believe, it is offensive and it's foolishness. But to those of us who believe, it is precious. It's awesome. I am never going to be alone. And there's some of you that feel alone and you feel depressed and you feel like there's nobody that loves you, and you're a Christian and it's tragic. Some of you have been coming to church and you don't know Christ. If it's this kind of preaching and reading the Word is foolishness to you, the Word says you don't believe. You need to check your relationship with God. Todd, come on. You need to check your relationship with God. If you're okay, everybody look at me now. If you're okay with mistreating God's children, I'm not even talking about the world. Like you have no problem mistreating your husband and your wife, and you're both Christians. You have no problem mistreating children or lying or cheating or stealing. You have no problem with that, man. You need to check and see if the Holy Spirit, because every time I come close to those, man, something rises up in me. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. That's not the way the family does business. It's not my call whether you're saved or not. But all I'm telling you is what the Word said. He said, to those who don't believe, it's foolishness. I'm just tired of... And the Lord brought back several times. I think Satan was trying to minister to one of my children. And they were just... They just weren't happy. And I can't tell you how that breaks my heart as a father to see my children miserable. Of course, I responded probably in more flesh than I should have. Well, I'll make you miserable. I can take away everything good if you want to be miserable. Why in the world? You're more than a conqueror. I don't have to put up with the lies of the devil. Satan is a liar. And the one thing he tries to get us to do, please hear me, he tries to get us to believe we are who we are not. And that God is who he is not. Are you hearing me? Is that not what he did right at the first? He said, Eve, God's holding out on you.